With that, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. I can't, Ecclesiastes 4:12. I can't give an example from my own personal experience because I wasn't in the Army, but I would imagine if you relate this, if I was a soldier, and I was out on reconnaissance, and I came upon an enemy soldier, I would have to evaluate if I had the ability to capture that soldier on my own, right? To bind that soldier, be able to capture him and bind him up. And maybe I couldn't do it on my own. I might have to go back and get somebody else, some other soldiers, to help in being able to do that. If I was out on reconnaissance and I came upon a platoon of men and I was all by myself, I think I would very quickly go back and get some more help, right? That would be what you would do. So I want to look at this, because the things that are happening in our life and in the world are foremost spiritual battles. It is a battle of evil versus good. It's a battle of the darkness versus light, isn't it? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Right? And so that's where all battles initiate. It's in the realm of the spirit. And what is going on is going to affect us down here in this physical realm. Isn't that right? So, Ecclesiastes 4,
just a quick clarification.
Yeah.
Not only does it affect us, but our actions here affect up there as well, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Sure that... All right. Our decision making will affect what is going on up in the heavenly realms as well. Okay. Good point.
Sorry.
That's right. So here's what it says. I'm reading out of the NIV version this time. It says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So what's that say to you and me?
Strength in numbers.
There's a strength in numbers. There's power in numbers, isn't there? That's what God wants to say. You know, I was telling Kathy, because she had a really bad headache this morning. So I was telling her a little bit about the message and this whole thing of a threefold cord is not easily broken. She said, you know, the strongest geometric shape is a triangle, right? And that three sides. You have God, a Trinity, right? We're going to be talking about, there's numbers of things we're going to get to today, so I hope you have the stamina. But there's that three that really makes a big difference. There's strength there. There's strength in numbers. There's strength when we come together. And when I talk about numbers, I'm talking about agreement, right? We come together and we agree on something. There's more spiritual power. Now, I know you've heard this before, but it's important for us to really grab a hold of and really understand that, people go out and they're protesting someplace, let's say. And there's a few of them out there protesting. And people are driving by, and maybe they'll notice that there's placards or something, and people might try to read what's on the placards. But if there's a couple dozen out there, and the next day there's 100 or 200, do you think people are going to take greater notice if there's 100 people rather than 12? Yeah?
Yes.
There's power in agreement on a lot of different levels, on a visual level. When we get together, we've said this a lot of times, our presence just in the same room together creates a synergistic spiritual energy. Maybe you and I aren't as aware of it as we need to be, but there's a synergy. That means energy going back and forth, right? I can energize you, and you can energize me. That's something that's very, very important. Especially when we're involved in some battle. Kathy and I have just really been under the weather here in terms of what's happening down where we're going, and there's lots of battle going on there, and sometimes you become tired. And you know what, a prayer from someone, a good word, a scripture reference, getting into the Word of God and reading something that gives you a little blast of spiritual energy. There's more going on in our lives than just having the physical energy too. I've really found when I've had the spiritual energy, my body can get energized even when I'm really, really tired in my body.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And this is important, especially in the time that we're in here. If you look at the news at all, you can really get drained, can't you?
Yes.
And so we need to, said this a lot, we need to have Jesus as our focus, trusting in what he's doing, right? There's things that Jesus wants us to do that is not only going to help us on an individual basis, but is going to affect those that are around us, right? If I'm all down in the mully grubs, and Claude comes along, and he's up, and he's strong, and he sees positive things, and he has just that full trust in God, and he says something to me, boom, all of a sudden, my thought life can change. Can it?
Yes.
Can it?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Do you think it's important that we stay on top of things in this life? And the only way that's going to happen is if we're really connected with the Lord himself, right?
Right.
If we're in that connection, we're going to give life to other people. We're not going to be down. We're all going to fall down at some point, but we have to get ourselves back up again, don't we?
Yes.
When we agree, it's like we're multiplying the power. If I'm praying by myself, that's one level of power. But if Kathy and I are praying together, well, that's a different level of power. Now there's some agreement. There's a multiplication factor that takes place. Well, what happens when there's three? You know, he says there are two. When it's one, I could be overpowered. But two can defend themselves. Doesn't say that you win all the time, but at least you can defend yourself.
Right.
You know, you have your guy on your back. He's facing one way, you're facing the other, and you can protect yourself a little better. In the army, what? That's, you know, what's that called? Something about six. Watching your six, or, you know, your back. Your back's covered. You have somebody there that you can depend on, right? And that, and so there's something. That doesn't mean you're going to win, but at least you're better protected. And three, it's not easily broken. Right? That still doesn't mean that you're going to get through something, but you're better prepared, and you're there's more power that you can now throw out there against this enemy that wants to overrun you. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Hold on a minute.
It wasn't just Todd Beamer, there were 300-400s.
Yeah.
They knew in numbers they were strength.
Yes.
And they were together on it, and they were committed to the end.
Yes. Because they saw the power of what, you know, what they were up against. Todd wasn't going to do that all by himself. There were four of them. You know, they needed more. He needed that extra help. Now, take it to what I'm hoping and what God wants you and I to see. We need one another in this battle that we are in. Whether it's on an individual thing, something happens in a family situation, or whether we're talking on the level of nations. Any way you look at it, we need one another, and we need to be willing to talk to one another to get that extra spiritual help in time of need, right? It isn't just you all by yourself and God. You know, I've said this before. Daniel chapter 10 talks about Daniel praying to God, praying about his country Israel, and when were they going to be able to get back into their land. And God sent out an angel. An angel! And the angel didn't show up for 21 days of earth time. 21 days! What was stopping the angel? Oh, there was an enemy. There was a prince of darkness. He was called the Prince of Persia. A prince over a whole nation, the nation of Persia. Because there's ranks in this heavenly realm that we can't see. And there's different levels of power. Well, goodness, God was the one that sent that angel out. So all that angel had to do was say, "Get out of the way, Prince of Persia." And wouldn't he just have to? No, there's something else going on in the spirit realms that we don't really understand too much. I'm going to be talking about that wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. All right? But I want to say that doesn't just make every spirit go running away. It all depends on certain aspects of whether we're in the name of Jesus. You know, there's levels of being in the name of Jesus. If it's in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit to leave, but I'm not really connected. I'm not really believing. I'm just kind of hoping. There's a level there where the enemy can see us and they can respond in a different way than what we expect. Otherwise, these spirits would just be dropping over left and right, wouldn't they? But we have to fight through a lot of spiritual battle. It's not because Jesus and God isn't the most powerful. It's how much we are in his name. And that word that word name means his nature.
Yes.
A person gets a name because of a nature that's being pronounced over that person. You're right? You guys know this. That word in the Hebrew means one of the things is it's the nature of someone. The more that we're connected and having a deeper and deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus, the more we're in his nature. That means the more we're in his name. And that's why some people can pronounce things and things happen a little bit faster. Right? Are you getting this?
Yes.
How many of you would like to be right there? Right? You would. Don't you want that?
Yes.
And God is saying to everybody that's hearing this, this is yours. This is your portion. This is your inheritance. And the more that we really step in to really allowing our life to be changed by the Spirit of God, the more we're going to have that. Instead of just saying, oh God, please take care of that, which we have to do. But there's another level after that. That a lot of the church is just, you know, a lot of church people are just kind of waiting for Jesus to do everything without using them. Isn't that right?
Yes.
We're his hands and feet in this world, aren't we? I'm way off. I'm way off where I wanted to be. All right. So, I'm going to go on to the next point. I might have to do this in two parts. All right, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 says this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two. He could got to twice as many places if he would have had all 71 go out all by themselves. But no, he limited what they could get to because he sent them out two by two. Instead of by yourself, two by two. Isn't that what that says? Ahead of him into every place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. We're little lambies. We're the lambies here. And here's God telling us to go out amongst the wolves. Well, why would he do something like that? What? Let the lambs go out with the lambs.
Yep.
Right? But no, we're being sent out. The things that that we have to face in this life is not easy. It's not formed so that we get the most enjoyment out of this world, is it? There's tough people out there, and we have to go out in that world as sheep, and we're facing wolves. There's not one person here that's ever had farm animals that would open up the gates and send the sheep out knowing that there's wolves around and not have some kind of way of protecting them. Right? So Jesus sends them out at least two by two, doesn't he? So they have each other's back, so that there's more power when something's coming up against people, that we understand in this life, we understand that we're going to have our best results when we stand together.
That's right?
Right? And that a lot of that is going to be our prayer life. Isn't it? Really caring about one another.
That's right.
Caring about one another. I think we miss out on the power of some of our prayers when it comes time for prayer time. And we're praying about something, and somebody's praying, and we don't have a connection to maybe the type of thing that's going on in that person's life, And so we can't, we don't relate as well, and we can kind of, amen. But it's not with the power of agreement. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
What would happen if when we're praying, people actually had the spiritual energy to hear what that person's praying about and identify with that person, and if they can't, to say, God, you know, give me an understanding, give me the intensity I need to enter in with the right kind of agreement for what that person needs.
Yes.
What do you think's gonna happen? Do you think things can happen faster?
Yes.
More definitively?
Yes.
Because that's what I think can happen. Knowing the Lord.
Right.
You have Pentecost in you.
I think so.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago, we were talking about revival.
Right.
Right? There's something that's going to happen. One of the revivals I mentioned, that Fulton Street revival, started because six people got together and started a prayer time. And God used that and kaboom, big revival. What can happen? What? Something is going to happen here near the end of this age. There's going to be a big revival. If you haven't heard that message, go back and listen to that. There's something that, even though everything looks like it's all falling apart, God has His hand on us. We're in the palm of His hand. There's still some grand things that God is going to do through every single one of us.
Amen.
Every single one of us.
Yes.
To the degree that we're going to allow Him to. You know? I'm all over the place from this thing here. So I want to talk about some specifics now about our prayer and about us being together in the prayer. This is Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. So there is power in numbers.
Yes.
Steve was a vice principal or a prince? Vice principal at a school. If a student came in and was complaining about a particular situation, Steve's going to listen to that because that's the kind of guy Steve is. And he's going to listen to it. But what if 100 people came in? 100 students came in to talk to Steve about, I'll bet you he'd be up out of his seat trying to find out what the heck was going on. Right? Right, Amy? I mean, you know, if one person comes, but, you know, if one of the teachers come, but then 7 or 8 of the teachers come, you're going to go, whoa, what the heck? There's power in numbers. Do you think that's only on this level here? What about in the spirit realm? Everything that plays out here is God is showing us through this realm what is going on up in this realm that we can't see. We can get a good idea what's going on by what we see playing out on this realm. We can. Right? So, well, listen to what it says here. This is Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. Truly, this is Jesus talking. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. See, it starts up in the spirit realm. If in the spirit realm things are bound, it's going to play itself out on this realm. And whatever is loosed on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Get it?
Amen.
So you see what's going on?
Yes.
So, how important is it, if we're talking about politics, or if we're talking about abortion issues, or we're talking about anything, all of the big name things that's going on in the world and that are very controversial and all these things are going on, where do we need to start? We need to start on our knees, don't we? And what if we're more in agreement about things? Yeah? Our prayers will have power. What's he say there? How's that say? If two of you agree on earth about anything, it will be done to you, done for you. I've read that scripture and go, so-and-so and I have prayed about something, we don't see a result yet. Wonder what's wrong. I don't think it's God. Again, truly I say to you that if two... Oh, wait a minute. Did I already do that?
No.
Again, I'll say to you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And then here's the kicker. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. See, when the more that there's agreement, wow, Jesus says, I'm there for you guys. You guys must mean this. You guys are talking to one another. You guys see the same things. You're in my nature. You're feeling my heart about something, and you're not just sitting around waiting for me to do something. You're crying out to me to do that work. And you are going to be willing, and you're willing to move in my nature to see it carried out. Yeah? I hope you're getting this. There's power in the name of Jesus, isn't there?
Amen.
There's power in his nature. And we've been given his spirit. And the more we've embraced his spirit, as we've lived over, day after day and month and year after year and so on, that the more we've embraced him into our life, the more we walk in his nature. And if we're speaking in his name, we carry the power of where we are in him. That can happen in an instant too, where you're just so connected with God in that moment of time that you pull down strongholds. Have you done that before? Yeah? That just reminded me of another scripture about pulling down strongholds, right? We want to, we talk about these things, but I wonder how much we really think that's really happening. We're just talking Christianity. We're just talking about it. And we believe it to a degree. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think there's too much of our unbelief in some of this stuff. We believe, we do believe. We know it's true. But maybe not for me, or maybe not right at this moment, or right. We need to, we're learning how to get out beyond things. We're not going to be squashed down by the enemy that puts fear into us, that restraining thing on us to not say anything or not do anything. Go ahead.
There is a difference between wanting to believe and actually believing.
Right. Exactly.
I think we all want to believe, but we struggle with actually believing sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
If you read the Gospels a lot, Jesus many times would ask the person, what do you want me to do for you? Did he really not know?
Yeah, right.
Of course he knows.
Of course he knows.
I can't see a thing.
Right.
He already knows.
Yeah.
But he wants you to express faith.
Yes.
So it was, what do you want me to do for you? Do you believe I can do this? And he asked that many times too.
Yes, he did.
And I think it's the same with us. What do we have faith for?
Yeah.
And that faith will grow. The other thing is if you read in the 19th chapter of Acts, you see a really strong story about the heavenly realm. These seven guys had heard about what Paul was doing with the demonic and breaking strongholds. And so when they start to cast out the demon, the Spirit answered and said, I recognize Jesus. I know about Paul. Who are you?
Who are you?
And you're known or you're not known in the heavenly realm. You're either known or you're not known. You're known by the exploits of the power of Jesus.
Yes.
Or you're not known because we shrink back in fear. And we won't do it.
Yes.
So are you known in the heavenly realm?
I want to say real fast before Mandy says something. That very scripture had come to me, and I was going to put it in the message, and the Lord was very clear to me, you're not going to say it, somebody else is. So this really is like, whoa, this is great. All right, go ahead.
Remember when we used to pray every September for 10 days, all the churches would get together and we'd
yes.
pray for the school?
Yes.
There was one time here, it was one of my first times here, and a whole bunch of us were praying in the middle of the room, maybe 8 or 10 or 12, and we could feel things happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, there was power. And 8, 10, or 12 people all praying the same thing.
Yeah. And you know, when we've prayed for things in the past, maybe by ourselves or maybe even with somebody else, and nothing seemed to happen, or you know, it was a perfunctory prayer. Well, I should pray about this, and so and you pray, and the level of that intensity, I'm going to be getting to that the level of that intensity also plays into the power that people have in their prayer life. So we have to understand this. All right, let me see if I can. I think I mentioned Matthew 12:29 says, if you're gonna bind the strong man, which would be some powerful angel of darkness, the first thing you ought to do is binding. You must bind the strong man before you can plunder his house. Right? Before you can take authority over what's going on, you've got to bind the strong man. And so that's right, you have to shackle him. You have to get him so he can't do his business. Right? And that's where our faith comes in and our perseverance comes in, so that when he throws his darts or he does what he's trying to do, God says to Kathy and I, well, I want you to move in this particular direction now. You have a new thing, and I want you to move into that. And then I get hit with all these other things. I've got to bind that strong man that wants to take my faith away. Mm-hmm. Right? You understand?
Yeah.
You get a direction from God, and you start to move in it, and then all these things come in against you. Oh, I guess God doesn't want me to do that. Well, it could be that. But you'll find that out as you play along, as you work your way through that. But lots of times, when you have something that God has for you, there's going to be battle involved in it. The enemy doesn't want you getting closer to God and stronger in your faith. He's trying to tear yours and my faith down.
You have to take away his power.
That's right, and that's what that binding is. No, I'm not going to believe that. No, I'm going to persevere in my faith, and I'm going to see this thing through to the end, right? Mm-hmm. You apply it any way you need to, and have you noticed I'm kind of going over on the side now?
Yeah, we don't see you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Your wife is on
you. You know what it is? I think because Kathy sits there, I kind of tend to be over here more.
Yep.
She's a more friendly face. No.
You got to label what you're trying to bind, though. You have to at least.
You have to know what you're buying.
Yes, right?
You so, do. Yes, this is what's can. Really important for us is for us to be able to discern. Oh, is this a spirit of fear or is this a spirit of jealousy or, you know, what's going on here that I'm reacting the way I'm reacting? Right? Do you understand that? And then you can say, no, I'm not going to get into an argumentative spirit here. No, I'm backing off. I'm not going to do this. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You know exactly who you're binding and you do it. Right? And boy, if a whole bunch of people are praying together about the very same thing, guess what's going to happen to that spirit? Huh? Yeah. Go ahead.
I can't tell you how many times Chuck was going to lead a Bible study, give a sermon, meet with leadership in a former church, but big things, and he inevitably would get a massive headache beforehand.
Yep.
He didn't sleep well the night before. He's sick. How many times the enemy would attack him?
That's right.
And we had to bind that.
Yes.
We really had to, and it happened. It almost got to be something we expected because
yes.
The enemy would really attack to discourage him, to cause him to not have the faith to be able to push through that. And I know it happens to all of us.
It does. And if we make ourselves aware of that, then there's something we can do about it. You've been forewarned today by the Spirit of God. Watch out. Watch out for where the enemy is going to try to dissuade you, to turn you away and distract you, to make you feel fearful in stepping out to do something maybe that God wants you to do. There's all kinds of things. First Corinthians, you don't need to put it up, because I'm going to move right past this. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God is not just saying the words, it's in power. Yeah. We're talking about kingdom living. And this is where God wants us to get to, kingdom living. Again, Chuck was in the prayer time there, and he used those exact words, kingdom living. And I'm just kind of dancing, you know, in my spirit, because I'm going, that's exactly right. It's kingdom living that God wants us to get to. Right? We become saved, and that opens up a big vista for us.
Amen.
To live with the King in our heart. And our decisions and our choices and how we proceed in this Christian walk makes a real big difference. How much we connect with the Lord, how much effect we can have on other people. Yeah?
Yep.
You understand this?
Salvation is just the beginning.
All right. So, here are some things where if the enemy knows, and I'll bet you he does, that there's power in numbers. Yeah?
Yeah.
He knows this.
Separate.
So what's he going to try to do amongst us?
Divide.
He wants to divide. You know that scripture in Matthew 12:25 says, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. He is always going to see if he can divide us somehow. Get us so that I'm not trusting that person there, or, oh, I don't like the way he said something to me, or there's some other thing. We have to be really careful about that, don't we? We have to be careful about that. When there is disagreements, we need to resolve. I'm not saying don't, you know, pretend everything's fine, but what I'm saying is that we better be real careful that we're not going to allow the enemy to divide any one of us. At all. And it's easy with our human nature for us to not like something in somebody if it doesn't agree with us. Huh?
Yeah.
Malcolm.
Yeah.
The enemy is also recruiting non-believers, enlisting them in his army, and that's part of the division in our country right now.
Sure.
With false information, fear, panic, anger, division.
Yeah. That division really diminishes our power, doesn't it?
All right, Malcolm, I've observed as we're starting to have slight changes as we go along, that the enemy wants to destroy this church too.
Oh, yes. Yes, he does. And I think this is part of the reason why the Lord's giving this message at this time to us, is that if we know ahead of time, if we're aware ahead of time, when those little barbs start flying in, we're going to go, oh, nope, I'm buying not going to do that. We're not opening ourselves up to be ended up being divided between one another. Nope, we're not doing that, because there's power in numbers, and the enemy knows it, and he's going to look any way he can to create a division. Any way that he can, right? So we got to be really, really careful of this. Okay. I think I mentioned that. You know, if we're apathetic when we pray, if somebody else is praying and you're listening, and, you know, like when somebody's praying here, and you're kind of apathetic about it, you're not really connected, you're kind of hearing, but you're not hearing.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the right group of people here. I'm like, everybody's like this.
Yes.
There's some things that you somebody prays about, and you know them better than other people, and so you're really connected with them, and you have some fervency in your heart, and you're not apathetic about it. You're not just kind of what's the next prayer going to be? You know, where we really it takes spiritual energy to get up above that.
Yes.
And we have to call out to God to make us that kind of person. You know, we have to change, because what the enemy's doing, and the way he works his division, and the way he works what he's doing in this, and you can see it in what's going on in the world. The enemy right now is trying to create a division between the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. Do you hear that? If that's going on in the physical realm, then what the heck's going on up there? It must have started up there. And and that's not the only thing. There's all kinds of divisions. You know, over the years, you know, the feminist movement. There's darn men. There's darn dominant men. What, you know, women are as equal. And true, I mean, nobody's going to argue with that. But you see, the enemy's always trying to divide one group from a different group. Black and white. It doesn't matter. Do you see what's going on? And this is the enemy through and through and through. And hopefully we're going to see the difference here. All right. Whew.
This division has been going on since the beginning of time.
Yes.
Right from the, the get-go.
Right, yeah. Cain and Abel.
Right.
Right? Cain and Abel, right from the very beginning, right?
Hardly start reading the Bible and it's right there.
It's right there, boom. So these are things we have to realize. This is the enemy's modus operandi. This is how he operates, right? So let's be careful of that as we move into these different things. Because all these things, I mean, in Kathy's family, they're kind of hesitant to be around us because we're not vaxxed, right? And though you don't want to talk about those kinds of things, those areas of division build up over time. You understand? We're not going to allow, please, let's not allow that to happen in this body of believers. Right? Okay. So, maybe I should make this part two. I was really getting to the big slam here. So I think I'm going to wait. I think the Lord wants me to wait, because this is heavy enough and important enough, just what we've been talking about, for you and I to stew over for a week. And then next week, I want to finish this message, because I'm going to take it to a different level. Okay? A deeper level and a broader level. All right? So, Lord, I just pray that we would understand there's power in numbers, that we would look to one another for prayer, that we wouldn't be afraid to talk to one another and ask for prayer in different things. If the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, what would the effectual, fervent prayer of a body of believers do? So, Lord, be with us. Show us, remind us that we can do more in the realm of the Spirit and in this life when we're together in agreement in prayer. Help us to mean everything that we say. Help us to agree with heart and fervency for the things that other people pray for, that they and we would grow in our spiritual power, in that spiritual strength. For the kingdom of God is not just words, it's in power. In Jesus' name, amen.
So taking that into account, we're going to do some praying.
Yeah.
And we need some spiritual fortitude to do that.